Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So, this is going to be a very cheesy line, but this is going to be a failure already, because I prepared this last week, and I forgot what's in this. So I was trying to review beforehand, but this is the story of my life. Most of you already know it, so you already know that it's kind of already a failure, but I'm just going to show you how failure isn't always necessarily a bad thing, except in my situation. So I'm just going to start with what is the dictionary definition of failure without looking it up yourselves. Martel. No, I thought you were Googling it. That's okay, anyone else? Yeah? Not achieving a goal, what? One hopes to achieve. Okay, so there's actually two definitions. One is the lack of success, and the other one is the omission of expected or required action. So similar, along the lines of what Mina said, that you're not achieving something that you wanted to achieve. So it's the omission of an expected or required action. So what a lot of people think is actually these two, is that you're starting on a path, and then one leads to failure, and one leads to success. So you win or you lose. The reality of what actually happens is more like on the right side, where you're on the same path, you hit a stumbling block, you fail, you fail, you fail, you fail, and then at the end, you win. However, the word win or success is actually dependent on what you interpret it to mean in your life, and I'll get into that a little bit later. But what's the difference between failing and failure, or being a failure? Okay, I'm not going to do a lot of talking, so please just help me out, guys. Turning out like me. Or, wait, which one's that? Both? So if someone says you're failing at something, what does that mean? Y'all are smart people, I think. Okay, so you're not doing well in something. What's being a failure? Failing at everything? Okay. Okay. You guys pretty much got it, but it's a little bit deeper than that. So failing is usually temporary. So in that previous drawing, you see that failing was like all those different roadblocks. It's usually a setback or a disappointment. So someone that wants to be a doctor, they fail all the tests, they don't become a doctor. Those are temporary things that they're failing at. It shows that you're stretching yourself and pushing limits. So similar to what Martel said, is that you're growing after. It's a part of the journey, an opportunity to grow and learn. So in the end, failing is actually growth. On the other side, being a failure is usually permanent. It's usually a mindset, so it's always happening. It shows that you have given up. It's the end of the journey, and it's turning your back on learning and growth. So basically, failure is like quitting. Do you guys see the difference so far? Okay. You could stop me if you have questions, but just don't make them hard questions. I don't know. Okay. So, Bill Gates actually said this quote once, and he says, "I failed my exam in some subject, but my friend passed. Now he's an engineer in Microsoft, and I'm the owner." So it's showing that someone that might have failed their exams or failed something along the path doesn't necessarily that means that they lost the battle or they lost that trophy at the end. So in this case, Bill Gates actually became multi-billionaire, and his friend is probably like some peasant working in his company. So if we fail, it's actually not the end. So Maria, can you read this? So a lot of times that we think that, or we hear people say, like, everything is going to be okay, everything is going to be okay. And that's actually very true, because if everything is not okay, then it's not the end, because everything will be okay in the end. I'm going to get into what... actually, forget it. I'll tell you later. Keep me suspicious. I'll explain that later. Okay? So his question was, if you guys didn't hear it, how do you know everything will be okay in the end? And I'll get to that in a bit. Okay? In the Bible and in a lot of the stories of the saints, we actually see that even good people, they fail. This is common everywhere. So the verse says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So eventually we will all fail, and we will all fail repeatedly. And then every saint in Scripture actually failed at something in their lives, and usually more than once. So I'm going to get you guys, if you have your phone, to open up Matthew 17, verse 14 to 20. And this is a story in the New Testament, and you're going to see very quickly how even someone that was as close to Christ as possible, they failed. Do you guys have it? Okay. Matthew 17, verse 14 to 20. Okay. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So this is an example of how the disciples, they failed at taking out a demon from this man. And when they asked Christ why they weren't able to do that, he said, it's because you weren't believing. Now, he could have just taken the demon out, and then they could have not even asked. But they wanted to grow. They wanted to learn. They wanted to find out why were you able to do it, but why weren't we able to do it? And then if you go on in the story in the book of the Acts, you will see that they actually took out a lot of demons afterwards. So this was like a learning curve for them because of their unbelief, but then it turned into belief, and they were able to do it a lot more afterwards. Another simple example that we could think of is in the Old Testament, saints such as Joseph, who was sold into slavery. The average person would say, oh, this man failed as a brother. He was sold into slavery. He never saw his family anymore. He's a failure. Like, he's the lowest of the low. But that was a setback in his life that changed afterwards. Yeah. Good point. So is it fair to call him a failure even though it wasn't his fault? Depends. We'll get to that later. Okay? So it all depends. I'm just going to give you a point that's going to come up later. It's all depending on your perspective. Okay? So even though all the good people fail, we are considered righteous in the eyes of God, and we will fail. So the left side says failing at failing. So you're starting, you're trying, you're failing, you're rising, you're trying, and you're stuck in this little circle nonstop. On the right side, successfully failing. You never usually hear those two words together, but it's trying, failing, learning, rising, trying, failing, and you're continuing to grow, and you're continuing to get all this new knowledge and continuing in your life. Okay, so that is successfully failing versus failing at failing. Okay. Actually, Milo might have heard this story. I don't know who else. Mina might have heard this story. But one of my favorite stories is in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4. and it's from verse 1, I believe, to 23. And this story is basically separated into two parts. And I'm not going to go into too much detail about what happened, but there's four factors that cause them to become discouraged or they would lose heart. Okay? And the four factors are fatigue, frustration, failure, and fear. I'm just going to go through these verses very quickly. The first verse says, the strength of the laborers is failing. So this, they wanted to build a wall, and at one point, after building a little portion of it, they were like, oh, we're getting tired. People, the strength is failing. That's it. Then verse 10 continues to say, there is so much rubbish. So they weren't able to build this wall because of how much garbage there was in the area. They would have to move the garbage and then build the wall. So they're like, we don't have enough strength. There's too much garbage. And then they finally say, we are not able to build the wall. Okay? Then there's fear, which says, till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. Okay, so they get scared and they try to think of another plan. Instead of thinking of another plan to build the wall, they try to kill the people that are in their way. But then there's the four antidotes. So after this happened, Nehemiah actually came and said, no, you can't just stop. You need to think of a second plan. So there's four antidotes, and surprisingly, they all start with R. Reach out, reorganize, remember, and resist. So it first says, hear, O God, for we are despised. Turn the reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Anyways, it goes on to they started off with reaching out to God. They stopped, and then Nehemiah was like, we actually have to all pray together and ask for God's assistance. Reorganize. So Nehemiah saw that this way wasn't working. So let's try to change something so that it actually starts to work. So he said, therefore I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. Okay? Then he said, remember. So remember the things that worked before, or remember what God has done for you in your life. So it says, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord great and awesome. Now, the people at that time, they were fighting many wars. So they had seen how God has gotten them through these battles before. So Nehemiah was telling them, remember what God has done for you before. Don't forget that. The last one is resist. Fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Okay? Does this make sense so far, or am I just like rambling? Okay. So this could apply to almost everything in our lives and how we shouldn't be discouraged no matter what happens. If you see that something is not working, honestly, and this is the story of my life, stop what you're doing and literally have a full conversation with God. The second thing is reorganize. So if something is not working, try to find another situation or another solution to the problem. Don't continue on the same path without trying to reorganize and come up with a different solution. Remember, so in order to not be discouraged, always remember what God has done for you in the past. And a lot of people are like, oh, he hasn't done anything good for me in the past. Like, there's no point of remembering something that doesn't exist. Okay? Remember the smallest, minute things, because there's so many of those in our lives that we actually forget about. And I'll give you an example that I say this in Sunday school all the time. And you might find this really silly, but when I used to take the bus, the OC Transpo, good old red limousine, I used to actually have to run for the bus because I was always late. And every time I made it on the bus, I was like, thank you, God. Like, I literally stopped and was like thanking God for like a solid 5 minutes. When I didn't make the bus, the first time that happened, I was so pissed off. I was like, now I'm going to be late to class. Like, why did you let that happen, God? And then I was like, wait a second. I was the one that was late, and then now I'm blaming God, okay? But then I was like, thank you, God. Who knows what could have happened if I got on the previous bus? Who knows what might have happened if I could have been sitting in the next to the person that smells in class? Who knows what could have happened, okay? So always remember what God has done for you in the past. Resist is, even if you're not doing something for you, do it for those that are around you. So in this case, it says, fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Okay? So we always hear the saying, it's not about how many times you fall. And the book of Proverbs says this really nicely. For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. So again, it brings to mind that it's righteous people that could fall as well. It's not just the bad and wicked people. But in this case, he's saying that a righteous man falls and rises. Okay. So it's about how many times you get back up. It's about how fast you get back up. But most importantly, it's how much you trust God when you fall. And that's something that we forget to do, and I'm 100% guilty of this, is that when I fall, I don't tend to think of God. I don't think of, like, how great he is. I'll think of how bad he is to me. But it's actually the opposite. It's supposed to be where you put your trust. And I'm going to give you an example of, like, what happened to me in my life. Some of you might know this, but I actually wanted to be a pharmacist. And I worked at a pharmacy, and then I changed my entire mind. But it wasn't working at the pharmacy that made me change my mind. It was a couple of things. I went to a seminar, and the professor from U of T was telling us, okay, look to your left, look to your right, one of you is going to get into pharmacy school. And I was like, oh, not me. I automatically knew it wasn't for me. But it wasn't just that made me change my mind. It was at that point, and I specifically remember the exact day that I decided to put all my trust in God for the steps in my life. I remember the day that I decided to do that, everything just fell into place. And it was a lesson that I had to learn, that if I don't put my trust in God, everything is just going to seem messy. And if you actually look at the timelines, it's really crazy to look at. I remember mapping it out once, and it was as soon as I graduated or found out that I'm graduating, because I finished my last class in December, the day after I found out I was graduating, I got a job offer. The day before my job offer, like, because it was 90 days, the day before, day 89, I was like, that's it. Like, after the 90th day, like, I'm gone. Like, I have to find another job, but not if she. I got another job offer. Day 89. After that second one, I was like, okay, Khalas, like, there's no hope, whatever. Like, the manager that I was working at, she was like, Jess, sorry, like, I'm not going to be able to keep you. It continued, okay? And it just, everything fell into place, and I specifically, I swear to you, I remember the day that I put my trust in God. So it's not about how many times you fall, it's about how much you trust God in your life to dictate your life for you. The other thing is that you can succeed next time. And there's some things in life that might not have a next time, and that's okay. I'm just going to put a disclaimer out there. This is not like trying to get you guys to take the easy way out. It's like, oh, I didn't pass the first exam. That means I'm just going to drop out. No, like, you can succeed next time means continue. Keep pushing for it. Keep going. But like I said, when you put your trust in God 100%, you're going to see the stars align. It's as simple as that. You're going to see signs and things like that that might not have showed up before, but keep going at it. So Philippians 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we hear this all the time. It's probably engraved in our brains at this point. But a lot of people don't try. And we have to keep trying and go back to that circle where it never stops, where you never stop learning. Does anyone have questions so far? I wanted to stop talking for a bit. Sure. Yeah.
I was always appreciative even if I missed the bus. As I said, thank you, God.
Now I don't have to class. Exactly. See, it's a great thing. Okay. So, like I said, yeah. Sure. the other thing with that is that a lot of people make their plan B their plan A. So what I mean is that this, again, I'm pointing fingers at myself. When I was trying to apply to pharmacy, I was saying, if I don't get into pharmacy, I'll work in research in a lab. So like I never pushed myself for pharmacy. So going back to your question, how do you know it's a bad thing? In this case would be what, like failing the exam or not wanting it? I don't know. But in this case, because I saw that the stars were just literally aligning into you shouldn't be, that's not your calling, I just realized that it's not necessarily a bad thing. And again, it goes back to perspective, so I'll get to that in a second. I probably did not even answer your question, I'm so sorry. but I'll get to it in a second because it's gonna tie in after. Someone wanna read the verse? Sylvia? Okay, so this verse we usually take it in the context of like a spiritual situation. We don't actually think of it in just practical everyday life. So sometimes God actually engineers failure in us before he could bring about success. So another example that happened to me, I failed an exam that made me actually have to take a whole other year. So one exam made me fail and have to take a whole other year. A simple thing that brought about like in my life was I ended up having, in my fifth year of university, I was in almost all of the classes with John. So I was like, yay, that's great. So it's like a benefit in disguise. You don't realize the little benefits until you look at the big picture. Because when you're in the middle of a trial or a battle, you don't notice that it's like a blessing in disguise unless you look at it from a bird's eye view. And that's kind of what God's doing with our life. He's looking at it as a big picture. So again, when you're stuck in something, always put your trust back in God. And again, perspective is going to come up in a second. Just a cute picture I found on Pinterest. Okay, so going back to discouragement, discouragement is actually Satan's weapon. So Joshua 1 verse 9 says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So what the devil tends to do a lot of the times is he makes us feel like we're this little guy up against this huge guy. Again, this is the story of my life, so I'll give you an example. I used to play rugby in high school, and I remember I was this little guy, and there was this girl in front of me. I kid you not. I kid you not, who was bigger than this guy. And I just wanted to run. I wanted to get out of there as fast as possible. And I was like, that's it. Like, I'm going down. Like, end of me. And the first time, I went flying. But then the second time, I was like, wait a second, she's got, like, weak legs. She's got, like, chicken legs. Second time around, got her from the legs, got her down. So the devil tends to actually make us feel like this, but if you find the weak points in the devil, you could actually take him down. And there's, I can't even say this Adlerian graphics for brief therapy, overcoming self-discouragement. This is a really important chart because it shows you where the potential to get away from that discouragement lies. So you start off here at the top left. It says, you feel and you think, I cannot do it. Okay? So you don't even try to do it. And then you have no encouraging experiences, so you forget that whole remembering past experiences. You say, oh, I have no encouraging experiences, so I can't do it. So you don't even try to do it. And then you keep going in this little circle. There's this little bridge of hope called the perhaps bridge, okay? And that one says, perhaps I can do it. I could potentially do it. Like, this girl's got chicken legs, maybe, okay? So you try to bring her down. And then you expose yourself to new experiences and keep trying. Yes, I might have gotten a concussion. Yes, I might have broken a bone. But I exposed myself and I kept going. So you make your own encouraging experiences. And I'm like, she's got chicken legs, I'm gonna go. Okay, and then you start and keep going in this beneficial circle of self-encouragement. So inside my head, I was literally just like, I'm gonna bring her down. She's like, halas, I'm better than her, whatever. Okay, and then down she went. So we always have to remember that that perhaps bridge exists in our life. So that perhaps bridge in a Christian's life is the trust in God. If you trust God, you will know that you can do it. And even if you can't do it, there's another option that God wants you to take. So get yourself out of this discouragement phase and bring yourself into the trust in God phase. Does that make sense? Okay. Ooh, phew. So God offers encouragement even when we don't have it and even if we're feeling down. Mina, could you read this? So this brings me to the perspective part. The trust in God phase is very important because we don't know the big picture. We're looking at it from down here and we're trying to see, like, imagine you're in the middle of New York City and you want to see 15 blocks ahead. Impossible. Skyscrapers left, right, and center. God's looking at it from a helicopter. So he could see 15 blocks ahead that there's an accident that's 10 blocks ahead of you. He could see everything that's going on, even though where you're standing, all you see is a big skyscraper. So a lot of times, and we say this every single time we pray, thy will be done, okay? We always say thy will be done on earth as it, okay? It's like engraved in our heads from the moment we could speak, our parents teach it to us. But thy will be done only is beneficial if we actually follow through with it. And that was the turning point in my life when I said, okay, like, I failed a bunch of things, but I'm not a failure. I am a failure in this and this and this, but I'm going to overcome it. I'm going to keep going. So reminding ourselves that it's God's will for our life. Maria fails at walking. Okay. I thought someone else wrote. Okay. So I'm almost done, guys, I promise. Yeah, one more slide, I think. So with that saying that we always say, thy will be done, it's only beneficial to us if we actually start believing in it and start practicing it in our life. And so it comes down to our trust in God again. Mariam, can you read it? Okay, so even though it looks like we failed, we're still more than conquerors in Christ. And we have to understand the importance of choosing what's the right standard of measurement to determine what is success and what is failure. And so that comes, that brings me to the final point that I have, is that it's all a matter of perspective. What we measure our success to is very different. So I'm going to ask you something. Was Christ a failure? No? Why? Very good. Okay, so he's not a failure. But to the Pharisees, is he a failure? The Pharisees. to the tax collectors, was he a failure? Christ was a failure, because if money was the standard, he failed. He had no money, right? So if we're establishing that the standard is what society wants it to be, then as Christians, we've all failed. Game over. But if we're establishing that our standard is what Christ wanted us to achieve in our life, then that's what we have to push forward towards. And a lot of people say, well, like, how does me in my daily life, how does that achieve what Christ wanted me to achieve? Like, I'm sure Christ isn't, like, sitting there and it's like, I want Jessica to be working at Health Canada doing a lot of shade. He cares, yes, that I'm working, but he probably doesn't care about that as much as he cares about me and my connection with him. So if it goes back to thy will be done and our trust in God and perspective, those three things are crucial to see how far we're going to fail before we actually realize that it's okay to fail. It's okay to have this stumbling block because we learn through it, okay? Again, going back to this plan A, plan B thing, plan A didn't work. Stay cool. There's 25 more letters. 25 more letters in the alphabet. And after the alphabet, usually in Excel, goes AA, BB, CC. Like, keep going, okay? Don't worry about it. I'm just going to end with one more verse from 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. It says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So that verse, we should literally abide by that verse, because it explains if we want to actually succeed in life, if we truly do the will of God, we're actually going to get to that ultimate point of success and get that trophy at the end. And that's it. Does anyone have any questions? How do you know everything is going to be okay? So going back to the whole, what is your standard of measurement of okay? If your measurement of okay is, like, I'm going to be happy having a house that's, like, six floors with a chandelier in the front, like, I don't know why I'm so extra. if that is our standard of being okay, then that's a wrong standard. The standard should be, like, if you are getting closer to God, achieving his will, and at the same time your life is moving, it should be okay. If I what? Of course. Of course. What? Huh? Okay, what's your second question? So trusting God is actually not easy. The key to it is literally letting go. Because what we tend to do is like, God, here's my life, but like, could I just hold on to the edge of it and just like you could take care of all of this, but I'm just gonna like hold on to this part. He doesn't want that. Like, because that's not truly believing that his will is the right will. It's still putting you above him in certain parts, but like you literally have to let go. And again, it's happened several times in my life, and I could remember the specific parts where I was like, I'm done trying to do my own thing. Just take my life, do whatever the hell you want with it, and I'm gonna keep going. So you can't just say, I trust God, and just wait. You have to keep going. You have to keep going with whatever you're doing in your life, because there's a natural process. Like, everyone continues through this natural process. You study, you go to school, you work, whatever. But when you trust God fully, 100%, and like I was telling Nina, it's literally letting go of your own choices and your own whatever. And I'm not saying choices as in free will choices. I'm saying choices as in like, not to explain it in this situation. Like I'm not saying like, oh, I really wanted to be a pharmacist. Like I'm gonna do pharmacist. I don't care if you want it or not, God. Like I'm gonna do it. It's not that kind of choice that you should be making. The choice that you should be making is like, oh, should I go to this school or this school? But then again, God might say like, this school has bad kids. I don't want you to be stuck with these bad kids, so go to this school. And you're like, no, but like, my mom went to that school and I want to like follow her legend and whatever, like, I don't know, in some of those movies. So, I remember I watched this in like university and I was trying to kill time, not study. So those are the kind of choices that you're trying to make, and the decisions that God should be making for you is like, if you should continue. And like I said, the stars align. When you trust God fully, and that's the thing, like, people are like, oh, I do trust God, I do trust God. It's like, no, do you fully trust him with your entire life? And that's the deciding factor. So you should still continue to work. I still tried for pharmacy. I still kept going. But at one point, it was like clearly God doesn't want this for me. I've tried, and I truly wanted it. And then at one point, it was like, I worked at a pharmacy, I hated it. I went to the seminar, and the guy was like, game over for you. it was literally every single thing was telling me, you shouldn't be in pharmacy. And that's after the time that I chose to trust God. Very true. So yeah, Mina was just saying, I don't know if you guys heard him, but you can't just trust him, you actually have to have a conversation with him. With our parents, for example, we have a trust in our parents, and they have a, well, they don't really have a trust in me, but with our parents, we trust them, they trust us, for the most part, because they see our situations, they see our dealings with life. We know that If my mom sees me falling off the chair, she's gonna try to catch me, I hope. So I trust her. We see how the person deals in certain situations that makes me trust them. We talk to these people, so we trust them. So like Mina's saying, you can't have this fake relationship with God and say I trust you but don't talk to him. It doesn't make any sense. You have to have this dialogue all the time.
Allowed.
talk wasn't to say, like, oh, if you failed an exam, like, it's not, like, that program's not right for you. No, that's not what this is about. It's about if you fail, it's okay. It's okay. Keep going. And you're going to fail lots in life. Like, it's okay. It's a normal process, and it's going to get us to that success at the end.
Sorry. Can you guys hear in the back?
You can't hear.
Okay. Okay, so I think sometimes when we think of God's will, we think like that it's like we're not going to enjoy it. Okay, and I think something I've learned is that when we pray and like we ask for God's will, He wants to make us happy and He loves us and He wants us to enjoy our life. Like He knows what we like. He doesn't want to put us in a situation where it's like, okay, this is my will because this is the most spiritually fulfilling. Like, yes, sure, like that could be an aspect, but a part of it is our enjoyment and like, and I think God knows us better than we know ourselves and He knows like what we're gonna like in the long run. And I think it's important to realize.
Does anybody else have any questions or comments? Is that Maria up there? Are you okay? Going once, going twice. Thank you, Sammy. Jessica?
Does anyone else have questions or comments?
What did you learn? A little
Which, who's that bishop that says like top 5 points? Am I good at this? Yeah. Okay, top 5. Go. Wow, you guys learned so much. Yes.
Failing isn't always a bad thing.
It's about perspective.
The perhaps bridge.
That you didn't understand it? Okay, why did you say so? I asked. Okay. So, there's two circles. One is self-discouragement, one is self-encouragement. So you start at the top left, and it says, you're working on something, and then you say, I can't do it. So you give up, okay? And then you don't even try, because you've already convinced yourself that you can't do it. So you have no encouraging experiences that actually motivate you to actually even try to do it. So you just say, I can't do it. And you just get stuck in the circle. But if you are at the I can't do it phase, but you're like, maybe I could do it. I'll just try and like see what happens. That crosses you over, and then you say, perhaps I can do it. And then you say, like, what do I have to lose? I'm going to try. I'm going to expose myself to these experiences that maybe I've never gone through before. So then you make these own experiences, and it works. So you encourage yourself continuously because you remember past experiences, and then you try new experiences, and then you say, oh, I remember that this worked and this didn't. So this is the learning circle. So you keep going because you thought at one point, I could potentially do it. Okay. Wait, so we said, oh God, I have the worst memory. I'm so sorry. You said, someone said perhaps bridge. Perhaps bridge perspective. Wait.
Failure
is not always a bad thing. Okay, that's three. Trust God. You gave one. Amir. Another example of that is Moses. Moses was super high up, super rich, super important, super powerful. And then he decided not to commit a sin and then ran. And then he failed because in terms of the society that he was living in, he didn't have any more money, didn't have any more power, didn't have any fame, nothing. So he failed. So it's a matter always of perspective. Any other questions, comments, concerns? Okay, repeat after me. I